I think one of the biggest things I have gained from emotional intelligence is recognizing that I can only control me. Right.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that I can control. And so there's a lot that goes into that. But part of that lesson is I control what I can and don't worry about anything else.
Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. And today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Miss Erin F. Darden, and she is a certified emotional intelligence coach. And check this, she's also an attorney specializing in helping individuals transform their relationships through improved communication, conflict resolution, and emotional connection. She is the founder of EQ for Love, and she empowers Black women to build deeper, more fulfilling romantic connections by leveraging the power of emotional intelligence. Erin wears many hats, and I am so excited for you guys to tap into this episode and listen to all the tips, tools, and nuggets that she has to share. This episode is titled Emotional Intelligence 101. So take a listen.
Hey.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Coming. I'm super excited because you are so passionate about what you do. So this topic is definitely going to align with the premise of the show. So I'm excited to have you.
Absolutely. I'm ready. So we got a Jersey girl and a Philly girl. So let's have a really good conversation.
It's just a North thing.
Hey.
So besides being a Philly girl, tell the people who you are and what you do.
Yep. So I am Erin Darden. Like you said, by trade, I am an attorney. But I realized pretty quickly that that is not why I was created. And so I went on this soul search, personal journey to figure out why was I created. And I stumbled upon coaching. Little did I know, I've been coaching my whole life. But specifically, I am an emotional intelligence coach. And so emotional intelligence is your ability to recognize, understand, and identify your emotions, to be aware of how they impact those around you. Also being mindful of people's emotions and using all of this for a healthy relationship. And I really became passionate about it after my own journey with emotional intelligence. This had a lot to do with my growth and my success personally. And so now what I do is I take the skills that I have acquired as an attorney, those conflict resolution skills, plus my personal journey, and my training as emotional intelligence and as a coach. And now I help women and their partners build a healthier relationship with emotional intelligence. So a lot of times that looks like helping them with improved communication, conflict resolution, and just their deeper emotional connection overall.
I noticed that everybody who says they are coach, they say this same thing. It doesn't matter what umbrella they are in regards to coaching. They'll say, I've been coaching all my life.
And had no idea, right? People have always asked me for help, which is crazy because I never give the advice, right? I've always been the person to ask the questions to help them figure it out for themselves. Because you're not going to blame me if you do what I say and it don't work out in your favor. It's not, right? You are the master of your fate. And so it's not about me or what I want you to do. You got to do what's best for you. And so I've never understood why people ask me because I never give advice. So, yeah, I hear a lot of coaches say that as well.
So with emotional intelligence, let's just dive into that and why you just feel like that is just a key component for being in a relationship or just being an individual in general, you know, having that for yourself and how that kind of adds to a component to having a healthy relationship.
Yep. So emotional intelligence in romantic relationships is how I work with it. Some of the benefits of emotional intelligence is you know how to communicate what you're feeling. First, you know what you're feeling and what your emotions are trying to tell you, right? Emotions are messengers, but sometimes we misinterpret what our emotions are trying to tell us. And so when you are emotionally intelligent, you know exactly what it is your emotions are trying to tell you, and you know how to communicate that to your partner or whomever, but for our sake, we'll say your partner, you know how to communicate that to your partner in a way that they can receive it. And no relationship is healthy without having these difficult conversations, right? And right. So there's statistics say like 65% of divorces end because of a communication problem, not because they don't love each other. So it's not about a lack of love. People love each other. They can't figure out how to communicate with each other. And if you don't know how to have these difficult conversations, if you don't know how to work through conflict, you're not going to make it. And so I am passionate about it in romantic relationships. Like when you usually hear about emotional intelligence, it's usually in the workplace, which is actually how I learned it. But once I figured that it worked in the workplace, I'm like, well, let me try in these romantic relationships. And I feel like our romantic relationships have a bigger impact on our quality of life. Right? We will leave a job where we feel disrespected or we don't enjoy, but we're not so quick to leave a romantic relationship that isn't serving us. Right. Absolutely. And so I feel like if I can help people learn how to talk to each other, learn how to understand each other, learn how to work through those difficult moments, then I think as a unit, right, everybody would be better. One, as an individual, because you know how to communicate and you are able to take accountability and you don't, you know, place the blame on other people. But just that family unit is so important to me. And I think connection is something that we all need, right? We weren't created to be alone. And so, but I think it's also something that people get wrong so many times. Right? And so I am very passionate about helping people have that love that they deserve and make it healthy.
Yeah, I agree that communication is key because once the tangible things fade, the reason why you initially went to the person, oh, they look good or they have this money or they're a certain way. Once gravity hits and the children come and all things.
Yes.
Left, you have that communication. This is your spouse, your safe space, your best friend. And if you can't best friend, then what are we doing? When nothing else works in our 60s, or not 60s, maybe let's just say 80s. Nothing else works. All we have is communication. We can only sit on the porch and watch our great grandchildren or grandchildren and talk. That's all we can really do. So if you do not develop the skills in the beginning, then you are absolutely right. It's bound to fail. But having these keys is definitely vital. I've never been to marital counseling, and that was something that I think if I would have did that, if I would have gained those tips and those tools, one, I probably wouldn't have married who I married. Mm-hmm. And two, I wouldn't be divorced because I wouldn't have married who I married. So gaining these tips is definitely key. How do you navigate like a session with a person or a couple, especially if, does it matter if it's like infidelity involved or is it all the same kind of framework depending on the couple?
So everything is going to depend on who is sitting in front of me, right? So my framework is the same regardless of what's going on, right? So I have my own framework that I use, reflect, resolve, reconnect, right? So the first thing that I'm always going to do is we're going to reflect and figure out what is not working and what is working, right? Where are your areas of growth? Where are the things that really need to be addressed for this to be healthier? A lot of times I've realized that people, they address the surface level, but they don't really dig deep enough to get to the root of the problems, which is why they continue to have the same arguments over and over again. Right. So we're always going to reflect first. And this is where I make people be honest. I make people, you have to take accountability for the part that you play. Right. Sometimes I get, unfortunately, a lot of women that come in and say, my husband this and he that. It doesn't matter what question I ask. It's going to start with he did. He is. He. And I'm like, and that's not to say that he is not doing something. But 9 times out of 10, of all the people that I talk to, there is usually something that she is also doing that sometimes she may not even be aware
Right.
It's contributing to the way that things are in the relationship. So we're always going to start with the reflection. When I am working with people one-on-one or them and their partner, I make everybody start with an emotional intelligence assessment. All right. And so we take the assessment. Once we have, I have them identify what they feel like their areas of growth are, right? Because most people come with, we keep having this same argument over and over again, or I don't feel safe. I don't feel heard, right? People, for the most part, come with some type of idea of things they need to work on. We take an emotional intelligence assessment and we figure out how your level of emotional intelligence is contributing to the state of your relationship. And so once we go through that reflect piece, then we moved into the resolve piece. And this is where we are going to work through your communication styles. This is where I'm going to give you the tips and tools to work on specifically how do you communicate to your partner so that your partner understands, right? And this is going to be different for everybody, right? I have tips and tools that some might work for you, some might not work for you. It really depends on what the issue is, right? So sometimes the issue is y'all just have different communication styles. Y'all resolve conflict differently. You need to resolve things immediately. He needs some time to think and process and reflect, right? And so a lot of times how you fight is the issue, right? Do you feel safe talking to your partner about any and everything, right? Is your partner saying things to you that's triggering something from your past, right? Sometimes it's about how you fight, right? Or sometimes if it's not about how you fight and people have a healthy way of communicating already, then sometimes it means that they're not really getting to the root of the actual issue. So it's usually one of those two things that we're working through in the resolve. And so a lot of times in the resolve part of the framework, right, like I said, this is when we are getting more familiar with your communication style, your conflict resolution style, your partners, where the differences, where you guys want to compromise, right? And then also the actual issues, right? Why do you feel unheard? Why do you feel overwhelmed? Is it about how things are allocated in the relationship, right? This is also the part where I usually have to remind people to take the gloves off. It's not you against your partner. Y'all have to be together against the problem. Even if it's only one person bringing this issue up, right? I feel overwhelmed. It still has to be both of you against the problem of one of you feeling overwhelmed, because together, right, how are we going to solve this, right? Right? And so once we go through those skills and we have identified things and tips that will help you with those areas of growth that we've identified, right? Then we back to the reconnect. How do you reconnect? Sometimes it has to be with yourself first, right? Sometimes it has to be a shift in mindset and shifting expectations. And then sometimes it is about reconnecting with your partner. Okay, we've been working on communication. We've been working on why you feel unheard and things your partner says or does that make you feel dismissed or like you can't talk to them. Right now we're in the reconnect. And so where do we go from here? Like, what's the plan moving forward? I have a couple that they decided that every Thursday after dinner, they're going to sit down and check in with each other. That doesn't mean they always have something to talk about, right. But they know that maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday, they're going to wait till Thursday to bring up everything and we can talk about it all at once, right? So that we're not having these arguments throughout the week or, you know, just throwing the energy off in the house. Right. So again, it is very much going to depend on who's in front of me about what we discuss and the things that we work through, but the framework is going to be the same. We're always going to reflect, resolve, and then reconnect.
I like that because you said, you know, communication styles vary. And, you know, I just realized or I just learned of attachment styles and how they coincide to, you know, stem from childhood, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then it comes into your adulthood. And that just blew my mind because when you were saying about the person needs to resolve right now, and then there's a person that just needs time to just reflect. And if you don't know that, you'll feel a way like, oh, he won't just leave me alone. I just need a minute or whatever the case may be. And the other person will feel like, well, they don't love me in this moment or they're this or they're that. So it's really imperative that people understand those things. Mm-hmm. Is communication style and attachment styles kind of the same thing, or do they differ?
I think that they're different things. Right. So your attachment style is how you form relationships as an adult. Right. And like you said, that is based on how your caregiver provided for you in your first few years. I think that is different than your communication style. Now, at the same time, we do also learn communication styles from our caregivers. Right. How do we see our parent or whomever raised us? How do we see them communicate? right? And that is kind of what we deem to be acceptable until we kind of grow up. And sometimes we have different experiences. So for an example, my parents have been married for 50 years. I have never seen my parents argue, yell, raise their voice, call each other out the name. Never, ever, ever. In my 36 years of being alive, I have never seen my parents raise their voice, right? So I grew up thinking, I don't argue. I don't yell. I don't cuss. I don't do any of those things, which I still don't. But what I had to add to that is I then had to figure out how to resolve conflict in a healthy way. Right. So it is true that you do not have to yell, scream and holler and cuss your partner out, because those are actually signs of a lack of emotional intelligence. FYI. But then that left me without another piece of the puzzle. Right. Yes, you can resolve conflict without. But because I've never seen them have their disputes or whatever issues they had. Right. They did that without, you know, not in front of us. That also meant that I didn't necessarily learn how to resolve conflict. So, right, I've been very conflict averse. I probably still am a little bit, a lot of it. But growing up, I was extremely, right? Oh, my God, I made you upset. So those were things that I had to learn. It's okay to bring up an issue, right? That doesn't make me a problem. Right? My needs deserve to be addressed too. But again, that's something that I had to learn, right? And so communication styles, conflict resolution styles, those are things that, you know, in part we learn from, you know, whoever provided for us. And I think some of it is also by nature, right? I was extremely shy growing up. The fact that I'm sitting here talking to you, this would not have been me. What? I barely talked growing up. I barely talked growing up. So, right, these are things that I've had to grow into and grow. And so we are also not taught how to communicate, right? Some of us are taught children are to be seen and not heard.
Oh, that was me.
Right? And then now all of a sudden we adults and you want me to advocate for myself? How? Like, if you told me, right? Or you never asked me how my day was. You never gave me an opportunity to express myself. It was always shut up. Stop crying. Mm-hmm. Big boys don't cry, right? You learn these things, then when you're an adult, all of a sudden it's just supposed to flip a switch and know how to communicate and know how to recognize our emotions and communicate that to our partner, right? So these are all things that are learned in childhood, right? Which is why when you are getting to know somebody, right, empathy is very important. Asking the right questions is very important. Even our definition of love, again, is something that we learn in childhood. Again, it adapts through our experiences as we grow up. But all of these things come from our childhood, at least in the beginning. And so that's why you have to make sure that you are really taking the time to understand your partner, right? I've had grown men like in their 40s. Like I am the first person to ever ask them how their day was and meant it.
Wow.
What? You're 40 years old, 40 something, and you've never had anybody ask you how your day was?
Wow.
And so while in the beginning, it could look like if his only response is, it was fine. It's because nobody ever asked him. He never had that conversation. He doesn't know how to ask for help. He doesn't know how to open up and be, you know what I mean? And let you in. So these are the things that I know that people say, like communication, emotional, these are deal breakers, but I will agree that they are important in a relationship, but these are things that are not taught to us. And so I think you have to have grace for people, and you really have to understand their background. How were they raised, and how does their upbringing show up in their childhood? Right. And this is not just about men. Like, right, as an attorney, I've had other clients that are attorneys, and this same thing. I was told never to show emotion. I was told I wasn't allowed to cry.
Right.
Right. And so there is no one size fits all. This is not a men issue, a woman issue. You have to take time to understand the person that's in front of you. And I always say, once you understand them, then you get to decide whether or not this person is going to be in your life or not. Right. Don't try to change them. If they're willing to grow, that's one thing. But truly just take the time to understand the person that is in front of you. Accept this person for who they are. You got to understand who you are, and you got to figure out, can we coexist together?
Right. So I love that you said that, you know, giving people grace, because that is definitely necessary. And it's sad to know that people are walking around just living a life on autopilot, you know, just supposed to do when that's working. Some people say, all I got to do is stay Black and die. A lot of people say that. And nobody really asks. And that just shows where we are in humanity, that nobody cares or is concerned about the next person. How are you doing? Checking in. That might be the strong friend, you know? And this is why suicide is so high. This is why things like, because people are actually going through things and they just walk around saying the surface stuff like, I'm okay. Or, you know, it is what it is. But they really want somebody to be concerned about what's going on so they can vomit their feelings and say, you know, this is this and this is that, but they didn't have that safe space to really express themselves. So as once they do that, right, once they come to you, they get the framework and all the things, my question becomes, now say this couple, right, has children, how do they show or move forward now with their children? Because like you said, we grew up in an era where children are not supposed to be heard, just seen. So how do we show up better for our children so they can develop, you know, emotional intelligence and express to them, you can be seen as well as heard, but there's a certain level of being heard. So what tips can you provide for us to do better concerning our children?
Yep. So I think the first thing that needs to happen is we have to reframe our thinking around the parent-child dynamic. Right. I was on, I think it was Facebook the other day, and somebody asked a question in one of these Facebook groups I'm in, like, parents, do you apologize to your children? Right. If you have a certain mindset, I'm not apologizing. I said what I said. It is what it is. What I said goes. But you also have to remember that, and this is the shift I think needs to happen. They're humans.
Yeah.
You are their first teacher. Yeah. How you interact with them are their first lessons. If you never apologize to them, they don't think anybody has to apologize to them. If you never say, I'm sorry, if you don't acknowledge their feelings, nobody has to acknowledge their feelings. And I think as the parent, right, sometimes, well, parents typically know the difference between a relationship with their child and a relationship with their partner sometimes, right? But a child cannot make that distinction. Right. They're not saying, oh, this is just the way my mom talks to me. No, this is the way that relationships go, period. And so I think the first thing that needs to happen is that mind shift. We have to treat children as human beings. Not to say that there can't be boundaries, not to say that there can't be rules, but we have to treat them as humans and acknowledge their feelings. The same things that you want your partner to do for you or anybody to do for you. Acknowledge your feelings. I think that's the biggest thing. Give them space. Right. Not only acknowledging, but respecting their feelings, right? Because that whole stop crying before I give you something to cry about, well, I'm just going to cry more.
That's my whole childhood. You
know what I mean? Like, and it's a lot of people, right? And so it's the reality of what was. But if we're going to do better, we have to recognize that children are human. They have emotions. And if you sitting there crying and for somebody tell you to stop crying, you're not going to stop crying. And if anything, is you should have more grace for a child, because a child doesn't have the ability to regulate, right? They're still learning how to regulate, right? And so I think that is another thing that we can do, is teach them how to regulate. So if they are crying, or if, right, that's the only way they know how to express their emotions. And so if you take the time to talk to your, okay, tell me what's going on, right? It doesn't even have to be in that moment, right? I am a big proponent of going back to have those conversations once the emotions have passed, because you can't be emotional and logical at the same time. It doesn't happen, right? Which is why you ever see a kid, I don't want it, I'm not tired, and they lay down and go to sleep because they're tired, right? They can't be emotional and logical at the same time. Same thing with humans. I mean, with adults, you can't be both emotional and logical at the same time. So I am a big proponent of going back and having a conversation once those initial emotions have passed, right? Go back and have the conversation with your child. Can we talk about what just happened? What made you upset? And even if they were incorrect in their thinking, right, that's the teachable moment. I understand that you were frustrated because you wanted more candy. But, right, having candy at this hour is not good. right? I understand that you were frustrated, but we got to think of a different way to express that. You can be frustrated, but you need to go to your room and isolate, right? Somebody else should not have to deal with your attitude, right? So these are teachable moments. And I think the same way you would talk to an adult is the same way you got to talk to your kid. They understand. Right. They know right from wrong. You could say, OK, that wasn't an acceptable way of expressing that. What's another way we could have done it? Or I understand you're frustrated. So if you need a moment, take a moment. I need moments all the time. And I'm grown and an emotional intelligence coach. Give me a second. I'm quick to turn my phone off for a weekend. Okay. I'm overwhelmed. I need a second. Right. But kids may not have that vocabulary. And I think the more you talk to them and introduce them to these things, they will learn to have this vocabulary. Right. We've been seeing more of this on social media. They've been calling it gentle parenting, which I think is also another term of raising an emotionally intelligent kid. And the one video I saw, the little boy was asking his mom, like, please don't talk over me. What you wouldn't do? You got to respect it. You don't want nobody talking over you. He let her talk. He let her say what she had to say. And it sounded like she had like shut down his emotions or whatever. And he was like, hold on, let me talk. Like, please don't talk over me. And he clearly articulated what he was feeling and why what she said or whatever she did, it hurt his feelings or it wasn't okay to him. He was very respectful. He said it and like as nice as he could, as you know, intelligently as he could. He looked like he was maybe like 5 or 6. So I think we are definitely seeing more of it. I think this whole gentle parenting thing is going to help a lot if it's done the right way. But there's definitely treat them like a human and like you would want to be treated.
So I love, you know, how you were talking about in regards to the children, because it's very important to embrace their emotions, like you said, and just be aware that they are humans too, because you, as an adult, you grow up thinking like you can't voice your opinion. And then you end up in these relationships with like abusive people or narcissistic people because you just enable any type of behavior and you don't think that your voice or yourself are even valid. So I love that you said that too.
Yeah. So you are setting a standard for your child. Right, of how they should accept to be treated, all of that. You're the first example.
And even now, like with my mom, I still in my whole 38 years of life, I still feel reluctant to say some things. And I'm a whole adult. Like my mom would tell me something to do concerning my child, and I'm like, no. That's my mom, right? But that's my child. But that's just how, you know, we were brought up. And even when we get older and our children get older, we have to, again, with the dynamic that you were saying, understand now my child is an adult, you know, don't have that, oh, well, I'm your mother or I'm your father. And you're still looking at your 40-year-old or your 50-year-old as that 5-year-old or that 6-year-old. This is now an adult that has given you grandchildren. So it's like, when do you turn that dynamic, you know, as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be difficult, right? And it's all about boundaries. And you also have to understand, and so I'll speak in terms of the child that's also a parent. I think one of the biggest things I have gained from emotional intelligence is recognizing that I can only control me. Right.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that I can control. And so there's a lot that goes into that. But part of that lesson is I control what I can and don't worry about anything else. So even if somebody, right, a parent is saying, oh, you should do X, Y, and Z. Thank you for the recommendation.
I love that.
To go back and forth, like, and you know, some people you're not going to win. Right. But you, like you said, it's also my mom and I need to be courteous and I still need to be respectful. I appreciate the recommendation. You ain't say whether you're going to do it or not. You just saying thank you. Right. And that gives you the opportunity to go back and later decide, as opposed to, I'm not doing that. Don't tell me what to do. It's my child. Now it's just not as effective. And so this is why I say emotional intelligence sometimes, well, a lot of times, is about the conflict resolution. If I am aware that you telling me what to do about my child is annoying and it gets on my nerves, I don't like it. I know that you're just trying to help. My parent is just trying to help. So now we got two things, right? Because two things can be true at once. You're trying to help. It gets on my nerves. Where do we go from here?
Right.
And that's where the emotional intelligence comes in. I know that if I tell my mom, don't tell me what to do, now we got issues. Well, I'm just trying to help, as opposed to thinking about your response. Thank you for the recommendation.
And she feels validated. And you feel like, okay, crisis averted.
I'm all about avoiding conflict when I can, right? I make the necessary adjustments. I figure out, especially if I really know who I'm talking to and I understand them and I understand what's going on, I'm just going to do what I got to do to sidestep this conflict, because I don't want no unnecessary, like, my life is peaceful. I don't do the unnecessary. I don't do any drama, really, especially unnecessary drama. Right. And so you just have to learn how to adjust where you are and how you navigate certain people, right? And so sometimes when women come and work with me, right, their husband does not want to work with me, right? They're not open to getting help. And so in that, because that's a very real thing, part of what we talk about is, okay, yes, you are here, you are getting help. And so we also need to talk about, how do you navigate this? How do you navigate your partner, even if they are not quite willing to get the help yet? They're not quite willing to grow yet. I think there is still good for you to come and get the help, because as you grow, it's very hard for somebody to continue to stay the same, right? If y'all used to have screaming matches and you've learned how to manage your emotions and to say things in a way that can de-escalate things, and you know how to communicate very effectively and take out the room for distraction or for your partner to get offended, right? Once you are learning these things on your own, at that point, if they still yelling, then they just yelling with themselves, right? And so you got to learn, that's part of another thing of what I teach, is not only, you know, how to work with your partner, but if your partner is not ready, if your partner's not there yet, there are still things that you can learn how to navigate that's going to make your life easier.
Right. I definitely agree with what you're saying, because evolution, you're not going to always be on the same time frame. Mm-hmm. And if you're caring about this person, if you want to do life with this person, you have to understand that both of you will evolve from day one to 15 years, but you might not evolve at the same time. So Absolutely. It all goes down to having the emotional intelligence to understand that grace should be given, empathy should be given, and conversations need to be had, whether mm-hmm. it's tough or just regular conversation. And if you feel like you are in a space where this is a vital part of your relationship and you want to make it work, but you don't know how to navigate or coexist together on a communication mm-hmm. standpoint, to seek the help. And it's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, that's what we are here for. We are here to help one another, and it's okay to not be okay. But the problem is, people know that they're not okay and they try to cover it up. Mm-hmm. So let's change the narrative and really be honest that we're not okay. And now let's do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not willing to do anything about it, you're going to be stuck there forever. Right. And I only give people, even my friends, you only got maybe two times to complain about something with me until we need to talk about what we're going to do about it. Right. And so when I have people that come, first, I'm only willing to work with you if you're willing to grow. If you're willing to grow, if you're willing to take accountability, if everything is still going to be the other person's fault, I'm sorry, I can't help you, because you don't want to be helped. Right. And so you have to be, my rule number one is always be honest with yourself. Even if you know you're doing something wrong, say that. I know this is wrong, but right. Accept things as they are. And then we can have an honest conversation about, where do we go from here? But that accountability is so important. I think that's something else that I've learned from being emotional, but being emotionally intelligent, right? It used to be for me, why is this happening to me, right? There was a time where every area of my life was in shambles. When I say every area, I mean every area. Like I was at the lowest of the lows, like diagnosed with depression and anxiety, ADD, and broke a breakup, and spiritually wasn't connected, and financially wasn't doing okay, like hated my job, like every area of my life was in shambles, right? And I used to, well, why is this happening to me? Like, God, you're supposed to be my homie. Like, what's going on? Like, why? And I had to change that narrative, right? Not why is this happening to me? What is this supposed to teach me? I saw something on social media. It said the pain will leave once you learn the lesson. I said, wow. Oh, okay. And so I became like hyper-focused on, okay, I'm not going to ignore anything else, right? I'm not going to be naive. I'm not going to say, right? I got to be honest with myself, good, bad, indifferent, ugly, or whatever. Because, right, who wants their feelings to be hurt? Not me. I don't know. I got big feelings, so I don't like them to be hurt. And so I don't want to lie to myself about something, a situation. It is what it is. Even if I don't agree with what I did, I got to be honest with myself because there's something in it that I have to learn. And when you continue to point the fingers and place blame, and you miss your opportunity to grow. Not only do you miss your opportunity to grow, but there is a strong chance that you're going to make the same mistakes over and over again until you learn the lesson. And so that accountability, again, recognizing that I am the only person that I can change. And so I had to learn to start taking accountability for the part that I play in everything, right? And I'm not saying I take accountability for other people's part now. Now, don't go too far because I've seen that too. Like, well, maybe I should have just, or maybe he did. No. Just the part that you play, even if the part you play is staying too long, because that's the thing too, right? Take accountability for the part that you play in this and figure out where you want to go from here, right? But that accountability, that is big. It's been a life changer for me.
Yeah, that's definitely, that in itself was a mic drop, you know, like the pain is going to keep continuing until you learn the lesson. And I think we definitely find ourselves going back and forth with the same situation, different face. That's just like how they say with relationships, you're dating the same person just with a different face because you haven't learned the lesson. That's like if you're in school and you have to keep taking the test. You have to keep taking the test because you didn't pass the first time. So if you pass it the first time, you won't have to take it again. Mm-hmm. And I love that you said that, and people need to really sit and ponder on that gem because mm-hmm. it's true. You know, really take self-accountability and a self-assessment right now to your life and where you are. And are you repeating the same cycle or are you progressing forward? And if you find yourself repeating the cycle, then you have to sit and do the work to understand, okay, what is the lesson that I need to learn? Because obviously mm-hmm. I'm just so busy caught up in the emotion of it. Like, oh, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. But what did you learn? Did you take, like you said, self-accountability? Maybe mm-hmm. it's something that you're doing that's causing you to, you know what I mean? Like with my ex, I knew that I was enabling a lot of behavior because I wasn't opening my mouth and speaking up for myself. So of course the stuff is going to continue because I'm not speaking up for myself. Now you're gonna have to tell me to shut up because mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you how I feel, whether mm-hmm. you like it or not.
Right.
Now, right. How I tell you might have to be a little tweak because you know mm-hmm. the north side of the USA, you know, we could get real rowdy with our mouth, but yeah, it's all about just learning who you are. Mm-hmm. So lastly, I want you to just tell the people where they can find you, how they can support you, and just give them a quick rundown of, because the title of this episode is Emotional Intelligence 101. So if you mm-hmm. give them like maybe two or three tips to really gravitate in this emotional intelligence thing and how to show up better in relationships.
Absolutely. So I am on all social media platforms. It's just my name, Erin F. Darden. So Erin, F as in Frank, Darden. My new website should be up soon, eqforlove.com. If not, my old one will still be up, erinfdarton.com. You can send me an email, info@erinfdarton.com, right? I'm here to help. I really want to help people, help you have that healthy relationship that you want and that you deserve, right? That love where we are supported and we feel connected, that gives us life and not draining, right? A space where we feel heard and we can talk to our partner about anything, that our partner got our back, right? And so I'm here to help facilitate that environment in your relationship. Even if you're not in a relationship right now, but you want to be, right? What that looks like is making sure you understand who you are and what it is that you want and need in a partner for you to have this love that you say that you desire. And are you that person that your ideal person is attracted to? All right. So you have to be honest with yourself about what it is that you want and need in a partner. And then we can figure out how do you get there, whether you are single and still dating or you're already in a relationship and your needs have changed, because that's a thing too. Right. We are ever evolving. We're ever growing. And so what we want and need in our partner changes. And so if you need help facilitating that growth or that new environment that you may need in your relationship and in your love life, let me know. I'm here to help. Being emotionally intelligent, I think, is a key to any healthy relationship. And so I think if I had to leave you with a few things to really get you on track with your emotional intelligence, I would say one is you got to know who you are. Self-awareness is the very first piece of emotional intelligence. Understanding who you are, understanding your emotions, what your emotions are trying to tell you, but also how you manage those emotions. What do you need when you're upset? What do you need when you're angry, right? How do you regulate those things so that you're just not flying off the handles and impacting those around you? So first thing, self-awareness, know who you are. I think the second thing that I would say is be empathetic. Really take the time to understand the person that is in front of you. And I think that empathy is so big and it has to go both ways. Right? Both of you need things in a relationship and it's not healthy unless both of you are getting what you need. Right? And so empathy, I think, is difficult because some people are in survival mode and so concerned about trying to make sure they have what they want and need, which is a real thing. But if you have the right person, you should be in a space where you can make sure that you are meeting each other's need and you don't have to worry so much about your own, right? Give that responsibility to your partner and you take the responsibility of making sure your partner's needs are met. And then I think if I had to do one other thing, so I said self-awareness, empathy. I think those would be the top two things. Know who you are and take time to understand the person in front of you. Be gracious to both of you. Right. And I think those are the first things. I do have a free emotional intelligence assessment. I'll give you the link so that you can include it in your show notes so that you can kind of get an idea of where you are and things that you can work on so that you can start being a better first person and then also partner.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
It was. So you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode and now you have a favorite Jersey girl and a favorite Philly girl, okay? But as always, I want you to know that you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world and you guys have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next episode, you guys, talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.